When I was a senior in high school, in the spring semester, I already had been accepted to a college seminary, I already knew where I was going for college. I got a phone call from a friend of mine, said, "Hey, we're going to play, me and some friends are going to play football. You want to come play?" I said, "Sure, sounds great." Gave me an address, told me time to be there. Fantastic. I showed up. Next to the address was a big empty field, basically. It really was probably 40 yards long. It was nice, open, about half a football field, not quite, but it was close. And there were about six of us, so we broke into two teams, three on three, and it basically just turned into one guy running the length of the field. Once he broke free, and we just traded off who ran the length of the field until about 20 minutes later when we were all exhausted because we'd all tried to run the field about four or five times. And we were lying in the grass trying to catch our breath, staring up at the sky, wondering why we had elected to punish ourselves in this way. And as we were kind of coming around, one of the guys looked at me and said, "So you're really going to do this, huh?" I want you to know that's all the context I had for this very open-ended question. "So you're really going to do this, huh?" I was kind of at a loss. I was like, "I'm really going to do what? Are we going to get some food? Are we going to play football? I don't really know." I was completely at a loss. He said, "No, I mean," and here's how he said it. He said, "No, I read somewhere that priests pray like five times a day. That sounds exhausting. I don't know if I could do that." And I looked at him genuinely and he said, "You're kidding, right?" I said, "No, I'm serious." He said, "Okay, let me ask you this instead. If you count every time you snack, how many times a day do you eat?" He said, "I don't know, 9, 10, 12, 20 on a slow day. I don't know, a lot." And I said, "If you can eat 9 times a day, I'm pretty sure you could pray 9 times a day." He goes, "No, I'm pretty sure I can do that. That sounds like way too much work." And I pressed further. I really want to know what his concern was. It had clicked in his brain that I was leaving for seminary. And apparently this was on his mind, but I really did. I pressed him. I said, what are you concerned about? I said, you're headed off to do that thing, and I don't really know if I could do that. And I finally said, "What is it that you're not sure you could do?" He said, "Be holy." I said, "Well, I have news for you. We're all called to be holy." And he kind of thought about it. And finally he said, "No, I'm pretty sure you're wrong." It's an encouraging moment, I know, but it actually points to it and really calls to mind exactly what it is that we have in St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. These are his opening statements to the Corinthians. And I want you to know, in case you haven't read Paul's letter recently, that Paul does not always have nice things to say to the Corinthians. In fact, he says some pretty harsh things. I mean, yes, he calls the Galatians the stupid and foolish Galatians, but he's a little hard on the Corinthians, too. He calls them out because they're not coming together as a community. Corinth is a huge town at this time. It's a big deal. It's big time. The church in Corinth is big time. It's a whole lot of community. But unfortunately, they were at a size of a community where they tended to break down into smaller and smaller circles, and there was really the in-group and the out-group, and each one had their own set of in-group and out-group individuals, and they sort of subdivided, and it caused a lot of division and strife, because if someone wanted to join a group, they were really just not considered part of the group, so there was a lot of exclusion and exclusivity, and it was a very cliquish community. I'm glad we no longer have that problem in the 21st century. Of course, we've transcended any of the limitations that we have in the early church community. But, just in case, we can learn a few things from this particular instance and situation. We have Paul writing to the Corinthians. Now, I want you to bear in mind who these people are. They're good people, but they have some struggles. They're not perfect. And he's going to call them out on their imperfections. And what does he say? He says, Paul, he identifies who he is. Sosthenes, a brother, writing to you guys, the church of God that is in Corinth, who have been sanctified by Christ Jesus and called to be holy. It's this incredible moment. They're called to be holy. They're called to be something more. It doesn't mean that Paul expects all of them to run out and perform miracles at every waking moment. It doesn't mean that they have to have it all figured out and have to be perfect in order to respond to this call to holiness. It doesn't mean that suddenly they have to have this flawless way of life where everyone turns to them and goes, "Wow, they must be really close to God." It does mean that they should be striving for holiness. And much like my wayward friend in his senior year of high school, we seem to have forgotten that all of us are supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be striving for holiness. I'm not saying that I expect any of you to run out that door and immediately begin performing miracles, or that all of you should suddenly feel so overwhelmed by the idea that we have to be holy that we should give up right now because we're not there yet. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that a call to holiness, much like anything worth doing, is going to take practice, is going to take effort, is going to take an investment of ourselves in order to achieve it. I still remember, I watch this YouTube video every time I want, I come back to it over and over again, I just love watching it. It's an older video, it's all black and white, and sometimes it's a little choppy, so someone spent a lot of time just trying to hold this film together long enough to digitize it, and then they put it on YouTube. And it shows a man, very talented musician, who's holding a trumpet. And he says, anyone can learn to play a trumpet, it's really easy. First you play a note, and he plays one note. He says, then you have to know how to play one higher, so he plays one note higher. He says, then you play one note lower, and then he plays one note lower. He says, and then you can do anything. You know, you figure out what these three buttons do, you can play anything. And then he plays Flight of the Bumblebee. If you've ever heard Flight of the Bumblebee on a trumpet, I'm watching this man, and I'm thinking to myself, that's not how this works. You don't just pick up a trumpet, play three notes, and then suddenly you play Flight of the Bumblebee. That's not how any of this works. But that's a new challenge. That's genuinely the challenge we face. When I was growing up, I learned to play the cornet, which is like a trumpet, but a little bit smaller. I played the cornet. You know the first song I learned to play? It was not Flight of the Bumblebee. I learned to play Jingle Bells. Largely because my sister hated Jingle Bells, and it was one of the first songs I could learn. So I learned to play Jingle Bells first, so I could drive my sister crazy. I was still working on that call of holiness too, by the way. You know, I'm still trying to figure these things out. But there it is. Somehow we think in our minds that just because we're called to be holy, that's something we have to be a master of holiness in order to actually be holy. When in fact, a call to holiness begins with those little invitations that all of us are supposed to be working towards. It means a daily life of prayer. Maybe even, and I know this sounds crazy to some people, as many as possibly five times a day, or more even. It means commitment to the sacraments, confession and Eucharist. It means a commitment to a daily life that we're growing in a relationship with God. And all of those are our components that bring us in a life that is called to be holy. And if we truly are to embrace this, that maybe one day we could be that incredible master that plays Flight of the Bumblebee. Maybe it could be that day that we feel so close to God, that we have that intimacy, and those incredible things could happen. We could be the next generation of saints, and that would be wonderful. But it also doesn't mean that we have to reach that in order to respond to the call to holiness. Remember, just like the church in Corinth, all of us are invited to two very important things. The first is that we have been sanctified by Christ Jesus. If you've been baptized, you have been sanctified by Christ Jesus. If you've been confirmed, you've been further sanctified by Christ Jesus. And by that very invitation of your baptism, you are now called to be holy.